Good morning and welcome to the City of Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board regularly scheduled meeting. Today is Thursday, September 13th, 2012. Let the record reflect it's 6 minutes after 9. And we are in the Veterans Memorial Building. Today, Board Member John Myers will be communicating to us by teleconference from a location at 1394 San Mateo Drive, Palm Springs, California, 92264. And do we need to say the phone number there? And Mr. Myers, just to reflect for the record, have you posted an agenda and have the space open and available to the public?
Yes, I have to say the front door says open, but it's not open because it's not outside.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, and at this point, then, I'd like to call the meeting to order and show that we have six members of our board here. And we will open now to public comment. Any members of the public? John, do you see any members of the public from your location?
No.
Oh, thank you very much. Let the public comment period open here at the Veterans Hall then. I see one member stepping forward of the public. Sir, please state your name for the record. Certainly, thank you. He's coming forward, John, with a piece of paper. Thank you. Going this way.
My name is Dennis Miller, and ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to address you this morning. I'm interested in heading the Tourism Bureau, and I have a few ideas that may be of worth to you, whether or not you decide upon me or not. I see no benefit, no reason to keep these ideas to myself when they might help the people of San Luis Obispo County. I see the tourist concerns and bringing business to the county as intimately entwined. I'd like to share a clipping I took from the San Luis Obispo Tribune recently. It says, LA is losing the core of its TV production business to other states. Folks, this should be us. We're close by. Anyone living in LA and working here can easily go home on the weekend and see their family, but more importantly, many of these people would rather live here. They'd rather work here than Portland, Vancouver, or Boise. We could and should be getting some of this business. This business would bring in more money to a cash-strapped area, and allow us more latitude in pursuing more similar work and productions, thus making the area sexier for tourists. I firmly believe that more movie business will bring more tourist business once the word gets out, and we can help the word getting out, can't we? I was involved in commercial photography for 30 years, primarily in local work, primarily in management for the location photographers. I know what these folks need to think of to believe that SLO is their home away from home, and I meant SLO County there. Typo. Proactive photo database for location scouting, easy permits, grip house, good rental studio big enough for cars, concierge service, hotel perks or comps, at least in the beginning. And I know that most of you folks are hoteliers, and I'd like to find some methodology by whereby the comp would be reimbursed by the city, the county, whatever. You shouldn't have to take a loss to bring work here. There's very little business in the area, and I'm not telling a big secret here. The movie business is comparatively easy way for us to infuse the county with jobs, work, and money. I invite you to think bigger. I'm brand new here, I have no allegiances, and I have ideas that can get these projects done inexpensively and, I hope, easily. If you think about it, what's the worst that could happen? Whatever that is, the retirees in Cambria, et cetera, will still be okay, and the people who are just getting by will be incrementally worse, I suppose. Is it worth the risk? Instead, I ask, is it logical to consider not taking the risk? We are on the cusp right now. We may thrive, but if we're faint of heart, we will almost certainly fail because time is not on our side. Other areas are being very aggressive in seeking production companies' monies. I have other ideas as to how to get more location scouts, producers, etc. up here to make the area more attractive, but that's for another time. In closing, allow me to offer two more thoughts. We suffer partly because we're not on the 101. Pismo is, and they're closer to LA. Business that might come here often stops there. Morro is far prettier and better in every way. Why allow this to happen? Why not rent a few billboards on the northbound 101 just south of Santa Maria that say, Morro Bay, just a little further, just off the beaten path, but worth the half hour's extra drive? As for myself, in my own small way, I have been trying to put Morro Bay forward. I run a rapidly growing podcast that for the last 6 months almost doubles each month in listenership. And for the last almost 3 months or so, I've been including a promo in my intro for Morro Bay. I'm at least putting my money where my mouth is. I'm giving my advertising airtime away. I hope you'll consider my ideas and allow me to consult with you toward bringing prosperity back to this entire area. I thank you very much for your attention and your consideration.
Thank you very much, Mr. Miller. Any comments? I see no other members of the audience, so I'm wondering, does the board have any comments? And let me remind the board, today we have John Myers teleconferencing, so when we comment on anything that's on the agenda or when we have a motion, I'm actually going to poll you for comments, and actually poll you for your vote today based on the guidelines for teleconferencing. So any comments, Ms. Alex?
No.
Nick?
I mean with regards to our...
Public comment, with regard to public comment. Any comments on public comment?
No, none at this time.
Karen?
No.
Michelle?
I think they're all really great ideas. I think we've talked a lot about, you know, we've had Janice Peters, we've had scouts out here, the VCB's been working on it. So, I mean, I think it's a work in progress, and I think it's something we should continue to keep our eyes on. It's just, it's one more thing that we need to address, but it's a big pie to address.
Member Myers?
Sorry.
Thank you.
And so back to me, I would just say, Mr. Miller, the VCB is in the process of hiring a director for a film commissioner here, and that's posted on the VCB website at slocounty.com, or sanluisobispocounty.com, sorry about that. You just go down to their careers page and take a look at that, but they very actively seek film crews, and Janice Peters has been working on the backside to connect all of those requirements so that each city has the same sorts of requirements and there can be one way for film crews to come through and basically get one permit that will cover all the municipalities. So thank you very much. I can't let you step up to the public comment.
Okay.
Once your 3 minutes is up. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's just the rules of... I'm not trying to stifle your free speech. So at that time, now I think, without any other comments from anyone, looking right and left, John, no further comment?
No more.
Okay, great. Public comments closed. We move to board announcements now. Just a reminder that this weekend, and I'm sure that Hank will be more than touching on this today, but we have a fabulous Avocado Margarita Festival down on the Embarcadero this weekend. It is a 2-day event, both Saturday and Sunday. After soccer, I will be down there working. And I'm sure that many of the smiling faces will be there. It's also WOW Week at Cal Poly, which just happens to make the margarita portion of the Avocado Margarita Festival a little bit more popular. And we have Savor the Central Coast coming up at the end of the month, which begins on Thursday the 26th up at Hearst Castle. The 27th, we will be having the wonderful epic oyster cruise here in Morro Bay aboard the Papagayo with Len and his wife Midge. About 40 participants, including some press, will be aboard the Papagayo for a cruise out to the oyster beds. Neil Maloney will jump on, and so it's going to be great. And then the following, we will not have a meeting before this, so I will also say, everybody, come on down for Harbor Festival. Harbor Festival is the first weekend of October. It's along the Embarcadero from where Beach Street intersects with the Embarcadero and Front Street and goes towards the Coast Guard station all the way out there and takes up the whole, 3 or 4 blocks, I guess, and of the Embarcadero. And it's a wonderful, wonderful event and benefits local charities. So we ask everyone to come out and support that. If you have any questions about any of those events, you can go to morrobay.org and get more information and get a link. And also, tomorrow night, Pirates football versus Slo-High. That's a big event here in this town. Our big, that's professional sports for this town. So come on out and see your Pirate football game where you're blue and white and support your Pirate football team. They're doing pretty good. They have won two games. Nick would know. They've won two games, which means they're like 100% better than they were last year, right? So they're doing fabulous, and we just wish those boys, and they have a great, huge team of cheerleaders, cheer squad this year, so come on out and have some Pirate fun. Any board announcements, Member Amini?
No.
Nick?
I think you pretty well covered it.
Karen?
Nope.
Michelle's good. Other than the weather, John, any announcements from Palm Springs? Palm Springs High School won last Friday night. Okay. I don't think they're in our league. Okay. We don't have to worry about them. Yeah. Okay, so we will move to item 4, approval of the minutes. I trust that everyone had the opportunity to review the minutes and reflect on them. I looked them over. I did not see... And we're talking about meeting minutes from the July 26th special meeting and the August 9th, both 2012 regularly scheduled meeting. So were there any corrections to the minutes anyone saw? No? So I would look for a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion we approve both the special meeting and the regular meeting minutes.
Is there a second?
I second to that.
Okay, so I have to poll the vote. So if you're in favor or not in favor, please let me know when I call your name. Member Amini?
Favor.
Member Mendoza?
I'm in favor.
Member Biagini?
Aye.
Member Hawkes?
Aye.
Member Meyer?
Aye.
I'm an aye, so let the record reflect that it passes with a full vote, unanimous vote. Thank you. And so we move to unfinished business. In unfinished business, we have continued discussion of the potential locations for the future visitor center. And we have been working diligently on securing a visitor center because it seems like January is around the corner, even though somehow we're only in September. I don't know. But yeah, it's just around the corner. And we are have entered into the lease agreements for the location at 255 Morro Bay Boulevard. They're going very well. We're working with Kate at Morro Bay Realty. And we hope to have a lease agreement back to us for your review at for full board to take a look at. I mean, it should be signed and finished up by then. You gave us the direction to look at that as the number one site, but copied to the full board for our next meeting. And we should then at that point be able to move into making the improvements that that we're looking to do. So... again, the location would be 255 Morro Bay Boulevard, and they just painted the building kind of a tan with kind of a burnt, what are we calling that color, terracotta trim? Are we calling that terracotta? With the terracotta trim. So you can pop by and take a look at that. And if you'd like to see it, you can either, if you'd like to go in and see it, you're welcome to do that as a board. You can contact either myself, Karen, or John, and we will connect you with Kate to get the building unlocked for you to take a look at. It's about 430 square feet.
Did you have a chance to talk to them about repainting the building, or it's still...
You're not liking the sand and terracotta?
I don't mind that, but I think we should change the color, I think. I mean, we have a choice, you know.
Well, no, it's been painted now. Those were the owner's choices, and we would have to go back in and
spend the money to repaint it again. So I don't know. We haven't talked to the owner about repainting it again. Perhaps the trim. We might be able to work on the trim. Yeah.
If you can at least change that. I think the color combination is not the best. That's bottom line.
Well, and if you consider our signage in our logo with the blue and white,
exactly,
a couple shades of blue and white, it probably isn't going to be the best. So, yeah, we will talk to the owner, I think, about seeing if we can redo the trim.
When we first entered the lease negotiations, Alex, there were about, I don't know, nine colors on the side of the building, and they were actually going to paint the building green. And we asked that they really wanted to stick to one of those colors. We asked if we could, you know, choose a color, and they said they wanted to stick to one of those eight or nine colors. And so we said, well, if you could go with a tan color rather than the green, that would be really great. And they chose the body color as that tan. And then, you know, we hadn't discussed trim colors, so we will see if we can work something out trim-wise to kind of enhance our beautiful blue Morro Bay logos that we have. And, yeah, we're definitely moving forward with that. We're beginning to source the interior, the guts of what we need to have an office. So we're beginning to source desks and computers and all of the things that will, you know, be in there that we'll need to have the office run. We've had some conversations with Craig at the current visitor center, and he's indicated that depending on what space the chamber is moving to, they may or may not need all of the rack displays that they have, and so we're going to work with him to figure out what is surplus inventory. He'll give us a list of what's surplus once they decide what their space is, and we'll see if that's anything that we can utilize. So, yep, things are moving forward. Are there any questions? That's going to continue to be on our agenda until we, you know, tell the move-in date. So you're going to see that. I don't want you to think that no progress is being made. Progress is definitely being made. So I'm going to ask now, are there any questions? And we're going to start with Alex. Any questions on that?
No, I'm fine. I think the only issue I had with the paint, I don't know if any allowance is given us from the owners regarding, you know, any improvements. That's something that most of the time, you know, the owners do, you know, pay some of for the, you know, lease improvements. So if they pitching in anything on the stuff we're going to do for the property.
I think that would have been easier if they hadn't just repainted the whole building. So, I mean, I'm not looking at getting an allowance for that because they did just repaint the whole building. But, you know, we'll talk to her about it. So.
Okay.
Also, they are going to work with us on some landscaping issues that we have, so they are doing improvements, landscaping and some of the parking lot issues that we have. So we are working through some improvement issues with them. Nick?
A couple of things. One, are we still shooting for a January opening, or okay,
you bet.
And also, we talked a little bit about the restroom issue. How we had, they have one restroom and it goes in the back through an office. Are we just kind of live with that, or have we talked any more about that, or any ideas?
At this point, it doesn't look like that restroom is going to be suitable for public use.
Okay.
It will be fine for staff, but it's not suitable for public use. We did present the letter that we talked about a couple weeks ago to council for additional funding, including funding to help us with improvements. It's my understanding that the city has also expressed interest in making that a public restroom. So the space is there. It's not set up now. So it's something I think the owner would be negotiable with. It's just securing the funding at this point.
So there is a possibility of having the restroom upgraded so it could be used by the public?
That would be up to the city at this point,
okay,
because we don't have the funding for that.
Okay.
And in order to do, to be honest with you, we did speak to the city about what it would take to make it publicly ADA accessible. and there's quite a bit of improvement in order to put in an exterior public door, get the 5-foot turnaround space, separate the sink from the commode, and some other things in order to make it public and ADA compliant. And I think that's probably out of the scope of the funding that we have as a 501. So we are amenable to it. We don't mind, you know, keeping up on the restroom and making sure that the, you know, exterior door is locked when the visitor center is not open or that kind of thing, making sure that the access is available to the public at reasonable hours. But conversely, we just don't have the funding to make that happen. So.
All right. Thank you.
Karen?
No other comments.
I'm just really excited about that location. I have to say I drive by it every day, and it reminds me, I just feel we're in a really great location. I would be curious, and this may be for a future thing, about just that inside, since currently their visitor center, I'm just curious about anything that the current visitor center has. I know you mentioned briefly there that there were some things that they were looking at. I would just want to look into those things, being that technically the money, you know, there's chamber and the visitor center currently, so isn't some of that equipment and some of those things technically stay with the visitor center? So I would just, but this may not be, it might be up for the business meeting, but I would just encourage us to take a look at that, because that's a lot of money that could be saved. I mean, obviously the money, I just find it hard to believe that everything that's at that current visitor center now is no property of the visitor center. So I thought there was like a 60-40 split or something like that. So I would just assume all of this money that's went into the current visitor center, some of those things that are in that current visitor center should be able to carry over into the new visitor center January 1. And so I know it's going to be like a marriage, and it's going to be a tit for tat. No, this was mine. No, this was yours. And I don't want to get into it that much, but I'd like to see. Right. Or yeah. It's a you're right. It's a marriage that's now divorcing. So everybody's going to fight over what's in there. But I'm just curious where that oversight is, and you know, everybody's going to claim everything's mine. And so I'm just wondering if, and I don't know if this is the time. I just want to bring that up, that we should also be protecting the taxpayers and the visitor center side of things, and where are those, that stuff lie. So
go ahead, Karen.
We did have a meeting with Craig, as Joan indicated, and it was very amicable.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think he has any problem with, you know, turning over. What we ask is that he do fixtures, furniture and fixtures inventory of the visitor center, and then let us know what. You know, it's going to be hard to determine at this point, after the chamber having the contract for so long. You know, what was actually purchased with chamber funds, what's purchased with visitors funds. If the chamber has the contract, does that become chamber funds? And so, you know, and quite honestly, our feeling is our space is very small, and I don't know how much would actually transfer into our space well. So, you know, it isn't going to become a divorce. I think we're all going to work very well, and Craig was very open to, you know, letting us know what he didn't think would transfer into his new space well, you know, that we could have access to. In terms of, you know, paperwork, databases, furniture and fixture may be a little different, but the rest of it I think we'll have a very easy transition.
When is the chamber is going to move? Is there any plan?
I go ahead.
Where and when?
Let's turn that over to Hank to answer that question.
Yeah.
Hank, do you know what your plans are down there?
Well, I know we're moving, and when around January, where is still up in negotiations.
Okay, so. Just like I thought from our conversation that we had with Craig, the very first thing that we have to do is get an inventory going, and I think the chamber needs an inventory going of what they have and what their needs are going to be. So they're working through that, and we're working through that with them, and I feel like it's a great partnership, and, you know, we're all on the same page. Craig wants it to be a win for the tourism board. We want it to be a win for the chamber, and we just, you know that we're going to work together. Let me ask Member Myers, do you have any questions?
The only thing I would say is that I think the owner has been very pleased to have the visitor center in that location, and so I think she has been very cooperative in trying to make everybody's requirements. Things like, I know, like the electrical in the front where the signage would be was not working, and I believe that's already been fixed. So we've got full electrical working out there that would be approved for us, things like that. So I think we have a really good relationship, but we will have a very good relationship with the owner of that property going forward.
I agree. Thank you. I have no other comments on this issue. It's going to come back to us several times. It's going to come back to us at our business meetings, and it's going to come back to us here. So we'll have plenty of time to work through any and every bug that we feel like we need. With that, I feel confident that there's consensus that we can move forward to B. Is there anyone who wants to stop me from moving forward to B? Let me look here. Alex, Nick?
Go ahead.
Karen? Michelle, no. John, are you comfortable with moving forward to B?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we are going to move forward to B, which is the continued discussion on a mobile-friendly app for morrobay.org. And with that, good morning, Sherry. And she is passing out some papers here, John, and I will cover what those are. Did you get those out electronically or? No, okay. So I will get... I will tell you what they are, John, as we move into this. Or actually, I'll have Sherry cover it. And for that, we'll turn it over to Sherry.
Good morning. We are looking at an estimate for the Morro Bay mobile site that we've been talking about. And the total for implementing the mobile site is $3,240. And that basically... gets us a very app-like mobile website. I know we sometimes confuse app with mobile website, but it will be what they commonly release in that $5,000 annual fee. It is a click-to-call, and I can send out a sample to you guys of what some of their websites look like. They have a few websites that are up that that they have put Jackrabbit on the mobile. And you can't do a calendar on the mobile site. It doesn't have every single function. So it gets you to a hotel, you click on the hotel, and you get a phone number, and then you call. So it's much different than what the regular Jackrabbit icon is on your regular website.
So it doesn't scrape?
They can't book online on their phone.
So,
and that's a Jackrabbit function, nothing of our accord.
So, okay, go ahead with your presentation. I'll ask questions.
That's the main thing. We would be taking content. You can see in this estimate there's details. At the end, we're talking about being able to test for all the mobile platforms so that it would work on iPhones, Androids, Blackberries, across the board, any kind of phone that is a smartphone. It does not include creation of any new content because all of the content is already on your site. So we will be stealing stuff from the site to get it onto this mobile. And obviously you will be involved in the creative on it as far as what the opening page looks like and where it clicks to. And it includes a single round of client revisions. And again, just a very basic, simple. You're not going to see lots of sunset photos and kayaking photos. It's going to be get to the point, get me the room, get me to the events, that kind of thing. So,
okay. So, thank you, Sherry, first of all. Appreciate that. And I'm sure we're going to have questions for you. And I'll hold my questions till the last because I think you guys will all cover them. We'll start. I see Karen's finger on the button. We'll start with Karen. Karen's ready.
So if I understand you correctly, then basically Jackrabbit would be used as an availability tool as opposed to a booking tool.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, there would be the ability to put dates of arrival, departure in, so it would show availability, correct?
I believe it shows availability. I went through the demo with him, and I was quite concerned about the fact that you could not book dates online. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling that they'll get to that point. They just started this. I mean, I think they have four or five websites that have JackRabbit on their mobile site. So it's a work in progress. I felt like it was a bit archaic to be clicking through that onto that hotel and all you get is a phone number. It's really not, you know, what people want off of their phones. So I do believe you can see availability, as I remember from the demo that we went through. But you cannot then say, I want to be there September 20, you know, like you can on the real website.
So is the click to call, when it clicks through, shows available hotels for the date you've put in, and then it's a click to call, is it by touching the hotel phone number automatically clicking through?
Yes.
Okay.
Phone number comes up on your screen, I believe.
Like a blue number, and you can click it
right,
at that point.
It handles the call.
Okay.
Member Hawkes, Michelle.
So I see on here, too, it says does not include photos. Is that just because it's an app and apps are supposed to kind of not have too much information? I know that the mobile book sites, I know Hotels.com and Expedia just got theirs out probably in about 6 months, and they're usually kind of the first ones out the gate. I did it on my phone for curiosity, and it's really hard to make reservations even through it's just difficult on a phone. There's security issues and things. I think a lot of people in general aren't comfortable doing that anyways. I think most people are going to call to make their reservation. I mean, I think the availability is a great feature, but for $5,000, I mean, it comes out to another $417 a month. I personally, in my opinion, would say go with the app. Let's wait on the JackRabbit. Wait for technology to get a little bit more advanced. Because to me, that's a lot of money to spend monthly when I don't think that the consumer themselves would be really comfortable using it anyways. I know we participate with the Hotels.com, and we have maybe once gotten a reservation come through the mobile. They turn around and just call and book them. So, or they'll call Hotels Direct or whatever. So I would that would be my 2 cents. I think for, you know, the 32, 40, I think it's something that's definitely worth doing, but I would be hesitant on the additional $5,000 a year.
Does this is actually transfers into the tablets also, correct?
Yes.
So, okay. And are there also website links as well as telephone?
A site. It's very much like what you had on your old site. We had a little icon on the home page that said mobile, or, you know, and they can click through and get so that they can get to mobile if they've ended up on your regular site. But otherwise, no, it's a separate entity.
Okay. Just because I know the morobay.org scrapes through JackRabbit, so too bad it couldn't scrape that availability to the mobile app. But that's why I was just, okay. It makes sense, though, technology-wise. Okay.
Technology-wise and JackRabbit-wise, I can work with Sherry to get back with Steve Mead and see if we can talk with him a little bit more and bring up some of the conversation that's already taken place with just two members commenting. I'd be happy to get a teleconference going with him and Sherry and myself and try and whittle away at some of our concerns with what's reflected in the report. Especially since they are only carrying right now about 5 sites, I think that they might be a little bit willing to be a little bit flexible with Morro Bay, since we were one of the first to jump on additionally and place them on our website. So I would be more than happy to place a call to Steve and speak to him directly if the board so desires in the future. But let's get through what... And we'll come back for second comments during a motion. Alex, do you have any comments?
Well, I think I have the same concern with JackRabbit. If everybody is on, all the hotels are on that site, and then we look at just availability, then there's a benefit to it. since there's no other ways to go about it. Now, for $5,000, maybe it's a little bit more money than we should spend on, but there's, you know, it's better for a guest who's trying to get a call to look at the right hotel if there's available versus the one is sold out and try to call and find out, you know, there's no reason to call them. So I think if you can, we can negotiate the rate, and we know that all the hotels are listed on JackRabbit, which is fair to everybody, then I would say we go for it. Otherwise, why spend that money? That's my comment.
I kind of agree with Michelle and Alex. One question, though, if we don't go with JackRabbit on the app, can they go to our website still and get the listing of hotels but not connect with the phone? Is that what I'm hearing?
We would have to implement that. You know, this estimate is based on JackRabbit bringing everything over and implementing it onto the site. So
okay.
This estimate will probably change if we're going to do that.
If we didn't have JackRabbit involved.
If we don't have JackRabbit, BCA is going to have to do, you know, our web team is going to have to do it, which I think it's very possible that we can. Mm-hmm. We would definitely have the hotel listings, the click through to the websites of the hotels, and I can, you know, we can discuss that click to call feature. But if we're, you know, if we're getting JackRabbit out of it, somebody's going to have to do that, and it will be us. So it would change things a bit.
So if it did change, if we did go with that, just hypothetically, could they? You'd still see the hotels and the phone numbers and the addresses on there?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely. It would be very much like what is on the regular website. When JackRabbit showed it to me, they were just almost pulling directly what we had on the regular mm-hmm. website into mobile. So.
All right. Well, I think that's probably one option. You know, I agree with our chairperson that we should speak with them and see if there's some way to kind of massage that amount, especially considering you really can't. Well, I guess you can't book in any of the apps, but I can envision that coming down the road. I think it's just kind of a security and technology issue, but
mm-hmm.
But you know, the $5,000 is a lot of money for what really we're not getting. So I think we should look into that, and then if not, then we could also just go without that also.
Member Myers?
This is all confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Help me sure you understand. Is this really a mobile website we're talking about, or are we actually downloading an app?
It says Morro Bay Mobile Site Estimate. The Morro Bay Mobile Site will be an extension of morrobay.org by aggregating simplified content from the website and making it available in a user-friendly format. Images will be limited to branding, colors, logos, links, and text. Photos will not be included. Elements to be included are a homepage. It includes basic branding information and a link to morrobay.org and links the following sections. JackRabbit.
It doesn't matter what the company is. How am I going to use my smart device? How do I typically use my smart device to do what I normally do? And I guess, you know, I might go to a mobile website or something like that and get a listing of motel lodging in a particular city, and then I think what I do is I hit a link and go over TripAdvisor. I start looking at the reviews of the four or five places that I've got picked at that might be the places that I would want to stay at, and then based on the review, I would try to make my reservation. And I'm thinking, if I'm on TripAdvisor reading the reviews, I'm probably just going to go ahead and make my reservation on TripAdvisor or Yelp or whoever I typically use for my reading section.
John?
Hey. Yes.
I want to say this.
Hello?
When hoteliers talk about booking on TripAdvisor versus booking on JackRabbit, One of the things that's better for us as hoteliers to book on Jackrabbit or off Morrobay.org, have a booking agent on Morrobay.org, is the fact that we don't pay that commission. And when you book on a third-party booking site, and that's what TripAdvisor is, it's a third-party booking site, it goes directly to Hotels.com or Expedia or Travelocity. All those third-party booking agents take anywhere between 25% and 40% fee, depending on how far you show up. So that's why I'm not sure that that we would be able to stretch as far as to push them to another website or another, I guess, application or a mobile website like TripAdvisor. Go ahead.
Yeah, all I'm suggesting is I'm trying to think the way the typical traveler makes their reservation. And I think the typical traveler does something along the lines of what I just described.
I agree with you.
So I'm not sure if how relevant the Jackrabbit discussion is. Is Jackrabbit going to be used that much? I mean, is somebody going to look at the mobile website and without any more information other than, you know, if there's a room available, here's the front and the address, go ahead and make the reservation.
Okay. I hear you.
Did you understand what I'm saying?
I hear you loud and clear. Yep.
I think...
And I'm not sure what the solution is to all this. And maybe there's a way that PCA is looking at this thing. Maybe that's the right way to go right now. It's a secret. This whole thing is very, very complicated. And I guess what I would suggest most of all is whatever we do, we don't spend a whole lot of money right now on it until we've really thought this thing through. That pretty much Sherry suggested, you know, something for $3,000 to get a mobile website out there is probably a smart thing to do. I think we need to have something out there.
Pardon me for just a moment, Michelle. Can you repeat your last sentence, please?
I think it's probably step one of a multi-step process.
Agreed.
And then, so taking that first step and making it inexpensive, you know, $3,000, whether they go with Jackrabbit or not, you know, the base call that Sherry's suggesting is a reasonable amount of money to get it started. And if we think this thing through, I guess the other thing that I've got in my mind is, you know, we're talking about a local website / app. At some point,
mm-hmm.
The county's already got an app out there, and I guess that was part that I would be talking about the county. I think we've got a great app out there, just way underutilized, and maybe we're smarter off partnering with the county and other entities in the city to keep it. In building a full blown app.
Okay, thank you. Michelle, you have a.
Yeah, you know, I think one thing that the Jackrabbit, and I at this point, I like John's approach. I would say go with the mobile app and worry about the booking things. But the one thing you would get an advantage of with the Jackrabbit is, one, the availability. But the other thing with that availability is it's going to bring up the pricing. So it's going to bring up, you know, okay, I want Friday, September 29th. It's going to show five hotels that have the availability, and it's going to put those prices right next to it, I would assume. And that's something to clarify with that conversation with Jackrabbit. But normally when you're on Jackrabbit, that's what it does, is it scrapes the inventory, and then it'll put the pricing in the boxes.
It would be to look at maybe a future schedule for full ability and what that price would be, and maybe merge those two abilities price-wise, maybe nail them down somehow with those two, you know, going forward with a booking ability.
Can I throw something in also? Because John mentioned the VCB in their app, and we had talked about this with our Tourism Bureau Formation Business Subcommittee before. And now, doesn't Jackrabbit handle the VCB booking also?
Yes.
Because
yes.
It would be, it seems to me that if they have their app and Morrobay.org is on there, it seems that we could, you know, kind of dovetail on theirs, on their app, and if, when somebody comes through the VCB, they could just jump on our app or our website or whatever and get the information that way also.
So I had the VCB app on my phone.
So do I.
They do not use Jackrabbit on their mobile app. It just comes up with a listing of all of the hotels in whatever particular area. So they are not currently using the Jackrabbit on their mobile app. Mm-hmm.
And they rotate areas, and then within that rotation, they rotate the hotels. Does that make sense? It's like a double rotation.
So just FYI, because, and I know as of like last week, I look at their app periodically. I don't think I looked at it today, but the last I looked at it, which was fairly recently, they did not use the Jackrabbit feature.
Be aware with a mobile site that they usually can refer you back to the full website. I mean, like Sherry was saying, you know, the mobile site will come up first if you're looking for a website or an area on a smart device. But they can refer you back to a full website.
And that statistically is what people do. If they're looking for more, if they're, you know, you've been directed because you're on your phone, you're on the mobile site, and then you realize that you can't book or you can't find something, it's always in front of you to go back to the real site. And your normal site shows up quite well on phones. We've tested them on every phone, your morrobay.org regular site. So it's very functional.
The advantage, which makes it sound like, so why are we doing a Mobi site? The advantage, of course, is that it's much more trim, kind of a capsulated view of whatever the interest is.
So in summarizing, I'd say that the direction of the board here is for Sherry and I to go back, have a further conversation with Jackrabbit, bring this back to the board, letting them know with or without Jackrabbit how much more it would cost to have BCA do the work versus Jackrabbit do the work, and also drill down on Jackrabbit a little bit as far as what they can do for us. Come back to you at the next meeting with a little bit more in-depth information.
Would we want to maybe go ahead, though, and move forward on the mobile site? Because, I mean, I think
mean
we
start
all agree.
It?
So I'll make a motion that we direct BCA to start with the mobile site.
If we're going to talk about BCA, I mean, is that really cost-effective? If we do decide to drop Jackrabbit and have BCA pick up additional cost, because I mean I would be a little more comfortable if we actually knew which direction we were going before we directed BCA to proceed.
I would feel more comfortable with that as well. We need to know the full scope. We don't want to give you half a mobile website. So I think really the first thing is to talk to Jackrabbit. I think we can do that pretty quickly and get answers, get some future, you know, development insights from them to see exactly what they can do and if we can shave down the price, you know, even better. And then we could make, you know, amendments from there. But I feel the same way. We need the full scope.
So then the board direction is basically that we go back, negotiate with Jackrabbit, look at what the different direction that BCA would have to take up, and bring back costs for all of that for us to have further review. So I think this is going to be an open an open topic for our next meeting. And are there any more questions or comments on that from the board? I'm looking. I see Alex jumping in.
Yeah, just one more thing, which I think you mentioned, but we may want also how much it's going to cost us if you're going to put it on our site versus Jackrabbit costs.
Yep.
So we can make a decision.
Yes. Member Myers, any further comments?
No, I think it's very clear. You're talking about it.
Okay, thank you. And with that, I'm seeing that we will be moving to C. Review of the footage from Dream in California's Coast production. And this is...
we would have to find out.
Yep. Okay, so AGP, if you would be so kind. And if you need to move, Alex, so you can see this better.
Big play.
Thanks for the tech support.
It's for a seaside stroll. It's not the beach, but the rock. That's the main attraction at Morro Bay. The 581-foot Morro Rock lords over this still-thriving fishing village, where Julie and I get down and dirty with my favorite seafood, oysters.
Oh, no, whoa, come on. Okay. Have you tried marketing this mud, like, for facials?
No, not yet. So this is my office. It's a good view every day. If you just set your basket right in front here.
Now, what are the bags are to protect them, or what?
They allow us to manage the bags, to move them together. It also keeps predators from eating the oysters. Each one of our bags has about 150 market-sized oysters in it.
How did you get into the oyster business?
Ever since I was 5, I wanted to be a marine biologist, and I didn't really know what it meant. I just knew that I got to work with the ocean. If you want to help me over here, you just hold the end and lift it up.
Right.
And I'll pull this, and then we'll dump.
Oh, look. There they are.
Woo! Here we go. Let's head back to the barge with our bounty. We are doing around 10,000 oysters a week.
10,000?
Yeah.
How about throughout a year? I mean, how many oysters?
Right now we have about 500,000 oysters in the farm.
Wow.
And this oyster right here is close to a yearling. And then we have other oysters that start ranging up in size.
Look at that.
This oyster right here is probably about 3 years old. So our crew, when we come out here, we dump the baskets out here, and then we sort them by size. Mediums. Come on, get in here. You can do some sorting.
It's okay, yeah. Here?
Yep. Okay. Perfect. You're doing good. You're hired. I would say our most popular oyster for a raw oyster on the half shell is the extra small oyster. Okay. It's got a real salty, a briny flavor. It tastes like you just went surfing. It's real natural salt water.
I love it. It tastes like the ocean.
It does. Exactly like the ocean, and it gets a nice little melon finish.
You know, I've chucked a few oysters in my day, but I would like to see a professional.
No problem.
Maybe I can learn a few tips.
You picked a good oyster. I wiggle like I'm trying to get a key in a lock. You can feel the knife get stuck in there. I turn that key 45 degrees, and it just pops the hinge.
Wow.
I'm going to slide my knife straight across, and I'm going to snip the muscle. Flick out any kind of shell or debris that's in the oyster, and then I'm going to cut the muscle. And once you've done that, the oysters are cold and fresh, so now it's time to eat and enjoy.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. They're so fresh.
It's a fresh oyster.
Mm, smell. You can taste the sea. Oh.
Thank you. Thank you for introducing us to the bay and to oysters.
It's a 30-mile drive from Morro Bay along rocky shores and through rolling hills.
So thank you very much, AGP. That was our Morro Bay segment, and you could see beautiful Morro Rock bobbing along back there. They were a few hours late showing up to tape, and it was gorgeous that morning. No wind, no craft advisories for the morning, and they were a little bit tardy, and we got there, and there were, like, craft advisories, and the wind came up. I mean, I don't even know how they got audio on that because it was so windy. We were yelling at each other, standing 2 feet away from each other the whole time. So the fact that they got the wind, the background noise out of that audio, they did great. And the photographer who did that, he's an Emmy Award-winning photographer, so he was out there, and I think it was the first time he was ever on a mud flat with galoshes on, and he got his boots stuck in the mud and fell over with the camera and was stuck in the mud with the camera. And Neil got him out. But it was quite the experience. But I thought that it turned out beautifully, and I hope that the board feels that it was worth it. It's going to air, I think, 64 times in the next 12 months on different PBS stations across the nation. So that'll be really, really nice for us. And if you want a viewing schedule of that, you can go to travelscope.com on the web and look up the viewing information for that. Okay? So that is a bit of unfinished business that we can now close after lingering for 2 years out there. And now we move to monthly reports. I'm sorry that you couldn't see that, John. Did you ever see that? Did you ever watch that CD before?
Yes, I saw the whole thing. They ended it out at the county meeting, so I kind of watched it at home first. Thank you.
Terrific. It's a beautiful segment. So thank you very much, and we will close off that piece of business. And we will now move to monthly reports. John, we are moving now to the Visitor Center report, and for that, I'm going to turn it over to the very friendly and always happy Hank Roth.
Thank you. Well, we'll go directly to the Visitor Center Margarita Festival this coming weekend, Saturday the 15th from 11 to 6, and Sunday the 16th from 11 to 3. And we're going to have, I didn't touch on this at the City Council meeting, we're going to have tequila tasting at Rose's Landing from 6 to 7:30 p.m. on Saturday for $30 per person. And if you don't want any tequila, just come and enjoy the music and fun for $15.
And may I ask, do you know how many people you're expecting to attend the Margarita Festival over 2 days or each day or any of that, what your expected attendance is?
I don't have that information.
Okay. I was just curious so that we could give the idea to the town of the impact. I think it's a great impact.
I've been on the Chamber website, I've been blasting it every day or buzzing it every day. And it started out with, you know, rooms still available, and then I'm not sure. I don't remember off the top of my head what we did last year, so we're doubling it. Sundays are probably a little wider than Saturdays.
Terrific. And how many? I'm going to ask you some questions. How many bands do you have playing? Do you know? Ish?
I think it's five on the first day, and about four on the second day. I don't have that information with me, but it is on the website.
Terrific. So they. The people can come, and they'll have music and avocados and guacamole and margarita tasting, and also there's an area for kids. Is that true?
And there's an area for kids on the other side of the, on the ocean side of the street, that little end street, which would be the extension of Morro Bay Boulevard if it came all the way down.
On the little thumbnail there? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Between Embarcadero Grill.
And Rose's. And what's going to be in that kids area so all the parents can bring their kiddies down? And do you know? Bounce houses and stuff?
I don't know if we're going to get the bounce house down there now.
Oh, okay.
But I could be wrong on that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I heard that there was going to be crafts and other fun things for kids to do, so that this year there's a space for kids and a space for the adults with avocados and margaritas and stuff. And they are wristbanding, so I was in charge of wristbanding last year, and I made everyone who didn't look like my grandmother present an ID, because that was the directions I had. If they don't look like your grandmother, have them present their ID. And so they are heartily wristbanded down there and ID'd. And so this just gives an added flavor for kids this year. So that's exciting. Anything else with the Visitor Center report?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Hank. Any questions for Hank? Alex?
Yeah, just a question I had. I'm maybe not looking at the right chart, but what your, you know, as far as the physical visit to the visitor center and versus the call, how's the number this year compared to last year? Especially, you know, in August and...
If you look at this report, it shows they're down about 450 physical visitors. You see that there, Alex?
Right.
Putting glasses on again. Okay. Yep.
So your physical visit is down versus a phone call?
I'm trying to see what you're looking at.
The calls were down also a little bit, 15 it looks like.
We're looking at this page.
Right.
Oh, that page.
You know, I've always said too, I think it depends a little on how they're tracking.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
We've talked about that before.
Yeah. And this year, as opposed to last year, they're tracking out separately the amount of people who walk through the door and ask for directions to the nearest restroom. So that was being counted in a total visitor count, and it's no longer being counted in a total visitor count. So I think that you know, 50 or so people, 75 people a month, whatever the number is, they're probably, yeah, come in and skewed that, so.
Thank you for helping me out.
that was a good point, Michelle.
I just remember about a year and a half ago, we had given direction to Craig. It was kind of when, I remember giving direction as a board, we had said, you know, when they come in for the restroom, don't count that as a visitor, and they had been doing that, so I knew that that would skew the numbers just a tad, so.
Just want to be clear on that. Because the numbers looks down. And, you know, why, I guess, because our bed tax is high, you know, so.
We're getting them to where they need to be to get the information. It's.
So back to questions for Hank. Alex, are you finished with questions?
I'm pretty much finished because my concern that, you know, collecting data for sake of collecting data is waste of sometime time. So if you're really measuring something, you want to measure in something that is meaningful. And if this is really not a big deal as far as our measurement, maybe we should then, you know, see how we can measure the mobile contacts. That's probably a better indication of what the tourist numbers are, because these numbers is really doesn't tell you what's going on based on what you just told me. If this is breaking down because people are asking for a bathroom direction, you know.
It's still part of the equation, though. I mean, you have to look at the website, devices, the actual walk-ins and calls to the visitor center. And you're right, the numbers look a little skewed in comparison to prior years when we know our occupancy or our ADRs are up. But that's, like I say, because the chamber and the visitor center has been given a different criteria for counting visitors. So.
Right. Nick?
Well, I think Alec brings up a good point. I think as we make this transition for the visitor center, this is something we can look at and you know, what data are we going to collect and what are we going to do with the data and how are we going to analyze it and what are we going to compare it to. So this is something we should keep on our agenda and just kind of look at as we make that transition.
Right, and I think we'll be accountable to ourselves where with, you know, the funding that came from TBID and went out towards the visitor center in the past, we were looking for some accountability from the chamber and the visitor center in the past. So, you know, it'll still be the same. We'll still need the data, I think, but, you know, we can set our criteria up to what is meaningful for us going forward.
Michelle?
When the DOT comes, I'm sure that they'll want to make a few changes to these reports at some of our direction as well, like Karen's saying. So I think this is stuff we'll evaluate and look at. I think it's still important, though. I think it's important to know the hard numbers that come in. We know it's going to fluctuate and it's going to change. But I think they're important numbers for us to monitor. I cannot wait for the day for us to send out those email blasts saying, we have referred your business X amount of times per month, and I know that's something we've talked about, and I think that'll be nice. I think as an individual hotelier, it'd be nice to know that they were being referred out individually, but that's to be down the line. We don't want to put more pressure on the visitor center now. So.
Even the restaurants. Karen, any further comment?
No further.
Mr. Meyer, John?
Just one quick question. If I'm reading this right, there was no 800 number calls during the month?
That's how I read it as well. And you have to, John, 3 years ago when we first formed the TBID, we made a really, really hard effort to push all of the marketing to the .org, the morrobay.org web address, and we pushed away from the expense of adding the extra line, the 1-800 number. During our conversation with Craig the other day, he did say that he is keeping the 4467 number for the chamber, but would happily give up the 800 number based on call volume to the Tourism Bureau if we wanted to continue to use it. It is still going to be printed on our new guides. But it doesn't look like that's being used very much, but we haven't made a push for it. So if that's something we want to do as a board, we have to decide that.
Yeah, I mean, you might want to kill it right there. seems like it's there. Let it lay.
Let it lay, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like the you know, the day of the 800 number has come and gone, and let's move on to, you know, mobile apps and things like that.
Is it not a line on our new visitor guide, Sherry?
It is. I can see if, you know, that decision would have to be made. We don't have another number, right? So that's, I think that was, it was the least of all.
Of our worries.
Yes. Not least of all our worries, but.
And I think it'll be interesting going forward to see if we do put it out there to see what the response is. If we haven't had it out there on anything, because we were making a concerted effort to push everything to the website, let's see what the response is on the 800 number with it being out there on the guide now. So,
I would think with all the transition,
you
keep it. I would say you would keep it at least for a year. I mean, with the transition going on, we don't have another number anyways at this point. I think that.
Yeah, aside the 1-800 number popping up on the website with the release of the new brochures at the end of the month, or by the end of the month. I know you do your updates on Thursdays. I mean, it could even be done next Thursday. It doesn't really matter.
Do you want to change it out completely? Get rid of the 772 number when the guide comes out?
I think you should just leave both numbers on there for now. That's
I mean, the chamber has a piece
of. Well, there's a difference. I mean, on 800 numbers, they're not paying for it. And the other way, they're paying for
exactly.
it. So we got to make a choice here. If you don't want them to pay for it, then we should use 1-800.
I am all for making it as user-friendly as possible, consumer-friendly. So, I mean, I say if we've got an 800 number we're paying for, let's get it out there as much as possible to the consumer.
So I think Sherry gets that. And Hank, if you just communicate that back to the chamber that we're going to add the 800 number up to the top of the website so that they know that the volume of calls. I don't know if it's a dedicated line, if you can see that when it comes into the office, but you know, you may be seeing that a little bit more frequently. Light up. Let's see. Let us know.
All right.
Okay, great. And I'm sorry, let's see. Have we got through everybody on comments? Yep, I think that's it. So great. Good visitor center report. Thank you, Hank. And we will move to the BCA advertising report. For that, we'll turn it over to Sherry.
Okay. We are looking mainly at August, although I threw in a little bit of good September stuff because some of the things hit late in August for September. So we're on a roll. After our last meeting, we talked a lot about hitting the ground running, getting onto some mobile sites, getting online advertising going, not letting it lag. So as of around August 20th, we started some good campaigns, and we'll just run through that. We saw these last month. We were looking at, this is the Sunset Magazine September issue, which was driving people to stay at Morro Bay for the Savor the Central Coast event, and that was in the coastal feature of Sunset, and also as added value, they put it in their weekend escapes, which is about 1.5 million purchased Sunset publications. TripAdvisor, we got back up and running with a banner ad campaign with them, so we just started, I think, August 25th, and they gave us this report just for about 10 days. So we're not only doing the sponsorship page, we are also doing a banner ad campaign that shows up on other you can go to Pismo Beach sponsorship page and Morro Bay ads will show up on it. You can go to Ventura. They sent me some screenshots that were very good. And the creative on this is really vibrant. It's three or four different screens, different shots of Morro Bay that are flash-driven and move, so it's very robust on TripAdvisor, getting some good results from them. This is our Savor program ad. This will be distributed to about 8,000-plus attendees of Savor, so we got some really good placement as part of our Savor deal. We have a full-page ad in the program. Have the QR code driving them to morrobay.org on that site and inviting them to come to the booth, which I think is going to be wildly successful this year. This is our Bay Area News banner ad campaign. Again, we started this about, it was actually late August, started the 28th of August, and they gave us just a short report on what's happened in the last 10 days. We have the ads showing up on an iPad, their iPad app, which is very, very popular, and also their iPhone app. This hits mercurynews.com, contracostatimes.com, siliconvalley.com, Inside Bay Area. All of those area newspapers are involved with these apps, so getting a good showing there. This is the Slow VCV ad. We will continue to do that for the rest of our lives, I think. So this is the ad. And we may want to think about changing creative. We've got, kind of a theme going with our billboard photo and Saver and all of that. So I think we may think about changing that to be more cohesive with everything else. This was the September e-blast through Constant Contact. We had some great comments back from quite a few members, or quite a few people that are involved in this database, of how beautiful, and I think it really did fit well into the fall colors. So this e-blast goes out towards the end of every month, and it heralds all the monthly specials and deals, and it goes back to the specials and deals page on morrobay.org. This was the Morro Bay Saver Getaway Sweepstakes that we participated in with the Slow VCB and Saver. This was something that was up on the Saver website. It was just showing some of the shows, the events for Saver. We obviously sold out. The Morro Bay Oyster Tour sold out within hours of this going up on the website. The Battle of the Bay event is almost sold out. I think we were looking for extra chairs, actually, for that event. And just to let you know, the Battle of the Bay is really ramping up. We are actually videoing today at Taco Temple and then videoing at Inn at Morro Bay on Monday. We are going to have a very exciting video that will show at the event, and we'll have it on the website and on YouTube and going out. You know, we should have it by the 21st, so we'll have a good 7 or 8 days before the Saver weekend to get that out, and we'll be using it. We're going to really concentrate not only on the chefs and the event, but on Morro Bay. We're having them take a lot of B-roll to show, you know, that these chefs are from Morro Bay, but there's other reasons to visit. So we're excited about that. Oh, these are the bus wraps. You guys have seen these for a couple of times so far, but we were invited up for a press event in the end of August, and we had a great turnout from Morro Bay. We had city council members, we had TBID members, we had City of Morro Bay employees. We had a great time. And Hearst Castle just did a great job. They rolled up every bus separately, and everybody got to talk about their bus, and Joan did a great job of introducing Morro Bay. So it's exciting. They're all what's the word, smog-free, or they're eco-friendly buses. So it was a gorgeous night up there, and I think this is going to serve us well over the next 5 years. Another shot. And this is our visitor's guide that we've touched on briefly. This was sort of an early rendition. They were going to change it this morning, and I was like, no, let's just go. So, sorry. But anyway, we're really excited. This shows the cover, the new cover of the Morro Bay Visitor's Guide, the table of contents. It is very rich in photographs. Lean on copy, because that's the direction we wanted to go to. It is very full as far as listings for all of the restaurants and all of the hotels and many of the shops and all of the recreation. So we reduced the visitor's guide from a 48-page document to 16 pages. So cut it, you know, by a third at least. It's a very slick piece that will show up on our doorstep 3 days before Saver. So we're excited. And so the next meeting we'll have hard copies for you, and we'll be able to ooh and ah over that. So that's been a great project. This was some great press that came out of the LA Times travel section, and they're speaking about work vacations, people that come to different areas to volunteer their time as well as vacation, and they highlighted in the headline, it's Morro Bay, They're talking about working on the Morro Bay Dunes and then also working up at Hearst Castle. It got a ton of Google alerts and hits, and so it was really good for Morro Bay. And it was it's a great article, just to, if anybody's interested in that kind of vacation, I think it's something that we can spin off of. This was an article from The Wine Enthusiast that was great. This magazine is so well received and has a very, very high distribution. They did a Highway 1 trip all the way through, and they highlighted Morro Bay in about a paragraph of their article, talking mainly about the fishing village, you know, the fact that there are very few working fishing villages on the coast. So Morro Bay got a good plug in that publication. And then this was really interesting. Joan and I were—I was saying to Hank how much publicity the avocados in Morro Bay is getting. They're doing a statewide campaign with billboards. They also that this article or this ad showed up from the California Avocado Commission, and it's on the outside or the inside back page of Sunset, their June issue, and it's highlighting the Shanleys that are a father-daughter growing. And you can see, I don't know if you can see it, I mean, the rock is back there. They actually have it on there. And the whole, all of the copy is about Morro Bay and their avocados. So that was really good. We put out a release on the Avocado Margarita Festival that was picked up statewide, did very well. So I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised by their attendance this weekend. This was a Bay News article about the peregrine that was saved and released in Morro Bay. Got a lot of attention. And this was an article in the San Francisco Chronicle about Dahlia Days. I was stunned. But I was. They picked it in this. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so, a stunning photo, though. Look at that.
I know. Isn't that beautiful? So
that's our city flower.
I know. I learned all of that at the event. So. This was our TOT success story. This was picked up there. Visit California, again, they are more choosy about what they pick, but they did pick up the Lighted Boat Parade event and posted it on their site, which is a very strong site. And then we're working, we have either released or are working on releasing, all of these have been have gone out. We did a press release about participation in SAVOR, the Battle of the Bay, and the adventure tour that Morro Bay is involved in. Doing Battle of the Bay, we already did a Battle of the Bay press release, but we're also putting out a media advisory and releasing the video statewide with the advisory. So it's just inviting all media to come, and we'll have that added piece of the video that I think should stimulate some interest. The Morro Bay Triathlon, we've been in contact with them, and they are off and running, no pun intended, but they it looks like they're going to have a really strong event. They're doing a great job as far as getting the word out. We funded them, and they took those marketing dollars. They're using them for marketing, and they're also going to produce a video of the event that can be used on the website and for further exposure. And Harbor Festival went out just prior to Labor Day, the press release there. So,
Sherry, when we look at events, too, the Lighthouse Century Ride is coming up at the end of the month. So perhaps we can make sure that we release some information that, you know, that's going to end at Morro Rock.
Definitely.
And so we can connect to get more information. And I think you already have Red's
contact, yes.
Yep, contact. So let's try and build that up for them, too, and get more information out about that.
Is it the same weekend as SAVOR? If it's
it is.
Yeah, okay.
It is, yeah.
Okay, good.
So we'll have lots of great things happening here at Morro Bay that weekend.
That's great. Okay, analytics. We touched briefly on this earlier in the meeting, so we'll go over this in some detail. We are up as far as total website visits, over 20% from the previous month in 2011. So that's looking good. We discussed this yesterday, and I discussed it with our web team a few days ago when we pulled the analytics. Total page views is basically showing how much time people are spending on the website, how many pages are they, you know, delving into when they get to the website. So this was of concern because it's been kind of even since the new website started with slight declines all the way through the last 3 months. One of the major factors is we have fewer pages on the new website. The old website was a beast as far as you could go everywhere, and it took five clicks, it took five different pages to get to a hotel website. You can now get to an individual hotel website with three clicks. So that's the information that we're getting. We're going to keep a really good eye on it. It's just the site navigates a lot more efficiently, and the other factor when we looked at some of the stats is we've been putting some QR codes out that direct them they don't go to the home page, they go right to the specials and deals page, and they can go right, that's two clicks to the hotel website. So I think it's an efficiency, you know, it's a good thing in some ways, but we definitely want to build it. We want to make sure that we're keeping content updated, and we'll see. We'll keep a close eye on this, and we'll keep you posted on progress. This is new versus returning visitors, which is healthy. And again, smartphone visitors kind of off the chart, over 100% from August of 2011 to this month. So people are using those phones. And the iPad or tablets, all the smart devices, again, is up 136%. Top referring URLs, we didn't see a big difference. We got a good bump from visitcalifornia.com, which was great. We've got sfgate.com. I think some of that came from the articles that ran. Facebook.com has been pretty healthy. And I think that's it. TripAdvisor as well.
And VCB is back in our top 10 referring sites.
Yeah, I think that's important. We need to keep them on there. And we were thrilled about this to see LA and San Francisco as your number one and number two top referring cities. So I think a lot of the residual online advertising has been really helping. We've gotten a lot of good press and a lot of strong advertising in those areas, so we will certainly continue those trends. Also seeing Fresno and Bakersfield coming in strong. And so those are the top 10.
Our drive markets.
Mm-hmm.
It's so nice to see that those bubbles get bigger and
I know.
Bigger.
Talked about it before. We had 879 entries from that contest, so then we added another 133. So we're over the 10,000 mark for that database, and that continues to grow. Saver will contribute a lot to that. So it's good, and it's a good, healthy. When you can get comments back on an e-blast that you send, it's pretty phenomenal. People don't usually even address it, but people who are interested in Morro Bay love Morro Bay and love to talk about it. So it's been a fun exchange. And these are Facebook likes. We are we're very, very close to the 4,000, and we definitely want to do some kind of campaign for the 5,000, which will probably, you know, we're going to do a somewhat of a Facebook like campaign at Saver, but I think it'll be fun to do something when we get near that 5,000 mark, and we'll keep you posted on that. And this is just some posts on Facebook, some vacationers and sunsets. People very, very active, paddleboarding. The Beer Fest has been very prolific on Facebook, so they're getting a lot of, that'll be an interesting event as well. Lots of comments on the buses. People were kind of arguing back and forth whether it was good to publicize Morro Bay that way. They don't want anybody coming here because it's such a nice place. And then Twitter has also been very robust. We had a few restaurants. That was Taco de Mexico that was reviewed on Twitter. And this was just a nature photo that was shown. And that's more Twitter. And this was interesting. This was a tweet about visiting Morro Bay, and this this vegan chef actually picked it up and wrote on her blog about some of the restaurants and her vegan tour of Morro Bay, which I didn't even know you could do a vegan tour. I'm really up on that. But it's kind of a good example of how this social media can really turn into something more, you know, just one little sentence. She picked it up. She got, you know, talked about her experience here, included the photo, and, you know, certainly hit a different audience than we usually do. And I think that's it. We do have the Pinterest account. We are working on, you know, we've got the restaurants and hotels up on that, and we're continually working on that. We have lots of just, you know, anonymous pinners pin all kinds of photos and comments about Morro Bay. So it's a robust thing. I keep wondering if it's really going to, you know, stay. It's a good audience, and so I think social media wise, we're out there with the best of them. And that's it. Anybody have any questions?
Well, I have just one comment. I think that the bus is really home run. I think probably we're the only city in the county that was smart enough to get on that. And you guys done a wonderful job on that one. Really, because, you know, that's over a million people visit that, you know, Hearst Castle. So it's free advertising, you know. That's really nice.
Yeah, they made a comment about that all the buses used to be wrapped in Hearst Castle.
Right.
And they said, why are we doing this when they're already here?
Right.
So, and you're right, it's over a million annually, and the numbers are jumping. So
right.
That's a good thing.
And I love the wrap that actually stands out, the darker wrap that Morro Bay went with. I think it looks very stunning.
We have the limo wrap.
That's right.
We were
tinted
dark.
Windows.
We look like a limo. Any comments, Nick, for Sherry? No? Karen, no? Michelle, no? John?
All good, thanks.
You're all good. Okay. Well, terrific, Sherry. Lots of work this month. You have been running. Your team has been running. I have to say that with the visitor's guide, BCA has been a pleasure to work with. Everything we've asked for, they've put together very quickly. This is a very, very, very quick turn. And I know we've talked early evening, and you've still been at work working on that, and your team has been there. And we appreciate the effort on behalf of all of Morro Bay that, you know, you're putting for. I know it's a contract, but I think you guys have really put yourselves out for us this month.
Thanks. We appreciate that. And I did want to mention, you know, being 2 weeks out from SAVOR, this SAVOR board or subcommittee is running. I mean, you cannot believe the work that is being performed. I mean, we had a conference call the other morning, and it was just like, boom, 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 you know, and then it just started, you know, happening. The things were being produced, and it's really exciting. I know it's a huge amount of work, and, you know, Michelle and Joan have really been crazy busy with it, but I think it's going to be a great success, and all that work's going to pay off, so.
Well, we have our fingers crossed anyway.
Yes.
<Right here. laughs> Always have the finger. Sherry, what's your confidence level on that?
Yeah, we've been talking with KSBY, and they are, you know, unless there's some big news event that day, we're pretty sure. I'm 80% sure they're going to be there, and they're bringing a reporter and a photographer, and they'll be out on that tour. They're excited about it, and I think it'll be great for Morro Bay. And then we've also been talking to the Central Valley. We reached out to Mike Scott of KGPE. He's got a scheduling conflict, although he wanted to come anyway and, you know, get a free hotel and SAVOR and all. But he couldn't make the tour. And I said, well, we're trying to, you know, work it a little bit different. So we've reached out to KERO-TV, which is their other big station there, and they've gotten back with some interest. They're trying to work that out. So, but I know we need to know soon just because of seats and space, but
yeah.
It would be a good hit if we got that.
So one of the important things on that tour is that we treat everybody like family, and so we're boarding the Papagayo with Len and Midge, and we're going out. Our partners are Clayhouse Wines, and they're going to be doing a tasting, a white tasting on board the Papagayo. And he's going to make a signature hors d'oeuvre that he specializes in, which is a bacon-wrapped fig. Date. Sorry, we eat a lot of figs in my house. It's a bacon-wrapped date. Apologize. Thank you. And which sounds absolutely, either way, it sounds fantastic. And we're going to try and definitely get some exposure there for him and his business and what he does, catering to parties. And then We jump off of that luxury yacht over to Tognazzini's Dockside 2, where Mark Tognazzini is unbelievable, and he and his crew set up a phenomenal family-style lunch. So we basically, the participants sit at one long table, family-style. It gives them an opportunity to break up and converse with each other, so it puts, you know, sunset and the winery around the table, and four wine tastings there with a five-course lunch, if you can believe that, including a signature banana chimichanga at the end. So if you're hungry, go down to eat after this. But and you know, anywhere in Morro Bay, eat local. And so that's all on board. Everybody's lined up for that. We're excited about it. And there should be about 40 guests on there, which is almost double what we had last year, and we're sold out. It was one of the first tours to sell out. Secondly, we are trying right now, we're working through a connection that we've made with the Avocado Commission, the California Avocado Commission, to try and get our background banner for the Savor booth to be that billboard. That there's five of those billboards in California, I found out, that feature Morro Bay on them. And they are in high density locations. I think Nick basically saw one, said he almost crashed his car trying to like turn
his
neck.
It was on Interstate 5, right, between LA and, well, Orange County and LA area.
Yeah, pretty exciting. That's those are
high
those
density
are,
area.
Yeah,
sure.
High density area, good exposure for Morro Bay. So we're trying to get that shot to be our backdrop skin or canvas for. And we're going to give away some avocados in our booth this year, along with our oysters. And we have some professionals coming in to do the build-out for us so that it's a little bit less stressful on your trade show subcommittee. We think it's going to be beautiful. We think it's going to cause a lot of interest. Clay House is interested in pairing with us out there and making sure that we display their wines. We can't pour their wines there, but we can display, and they'll display some oysters for us, and we'll cross-reference because they're on the other side of the venue. We'll be able to point people in each other's direction, so good partnership there. We will have our visitors guides ready for that. We have decided to place into the safer bags that everybody gets as they walk through. All 6,000 attendees each day get a bag. And in that bag, we have decided to place the Morro Bay rack cards as fulfillment. So we did have to do a run through fulfillment on the rack cards. Just a few additional, not, I think a couple, what?
We did 5,000.
We did 5,000. We didn't do the 20,000 that they originally printed. So we did 5,000 extra to make sure we could fulfill on that. And then they get used in the California Welcome Centers anyhow. So. And Battle of the Bay, sold out. We are working through whether we can add additional seats. Right now we're working with the VCB and Sunset Magazine to see if that's, and the event guidelines, fire department, all of that stuff, to see if we can add some additional seats there, because we have a lot of interest in that event. And that's hosted by Ted Allen from Chopped, and so that really put the battle in Friday. So we have them for an hour and a half on Thursday. They will have done lunch at Novo in San Luis Obispo, and then we'll be heading back to their hotels to get ready for the Thursday night event. So we're trying to figure out how we can tire them out in Morro Bay, and we're putting together a nice itinerary for them for an hour and a half. And we'll meet and greet them and get them some swag to remember us by. When we're talking about the swag that we need, we have done some pricing for oyster knives, bar towels, and previously those types of things for media tours and giveaways have come out of the fulfillment line of the budget. And we think that we're going to have a few extra dollars in our Sabre trade show line to take some of that out of, but we can't cover the expense of both of those out of that without going over the $5,000. We think that there's some play in there, but not all of it. So we're probably going to look to a fulfillment line or even a public relations line to be able to meet, to budgetarily wise meet that, because we do have to have something at the Sabre booth. I think you'll remember we gave oyster knives. We ordered oyster knives the first year out of fulfillment, and we ordered 300 the first year, Michelle. And that lasted us about 2 years. I did an inventory of those, and we have three left. So that's not going to get us through this year. And those cost about $1,000, I believe.
It was $1,200 total, shipping and taxes and everything, for the 300.
For 300, because they're quite they're beautiful items. They're quite coveted, actually. And the blade is imprinted or stamped, laser imprinted with Discover Morro Bay with our logo and morrobay.org underneath it. And it stays, if you shuck with it, it's etched in the knife. Additionally, the bar towels are white, like a flour sack towel with our logo that says Discover Morro Bay, morrobay.org, and it's our logo. And those are, were those each? I'm sorry, Sherry.
It depends on the quantity. I've been having a hard time contacting that company. I've emailed and called and whatever. So we're looking at either 300, 400, or 500. But I believe they were in the $2.50 range.
So these two things, these two items will probably come back to the budget subcommittee to determine. And we'll let you know how much we have left over from the trade show subcommittee budget for you to make some determination there.
And I think that's a real good idea to send those out. The only thing I'm concerned about is that budget has budgeted fulfillment basically for rack cards, and now we're using rack cards, an additional print of rack cards, as an insert in the bags, and now we're using fulfillment also for this. So we need some numbers.
And, you know, we just discussed this on our conference call, I think, yesterday, and we're waiting for the bid to come in on those towels before we can give any numbers, exact numbers. So it'll come back to budget, just to let you know that there's some fulfillment items that are going to come through, and you'll be like, where'd these bar towels come from, or whatever. At least you know that they might be forward coming. And the hotel packaging subcommittee report...
We did not. Website.
I'm sorry. I missed website. I apologize. Website subcommittee report.
We did not meet.
We did not meet.
Hotel packaging
subcommittee.
Did not meet.
We did not meet, but along with Sabre pushed through an e-goodie bag. They're sending out an email blast basically to all the Sabre participants, and they wanted a hotel special from Morro Bay for that. And so Michelle and Sherry, it came through trade show because, you know, we're doing all of Sabre. We have put together an e-coupon. So all this e-stuff. The e-coupon is going to be, there's going to be a blast that goes out to all hotels early next week, saying that the coupon is going out October to March. And it's going to Sabre attendees only, and they can pick up the phone and call the hotels directly. And participating hotels will be listed. They'll have to respond to Sherry. But there'll be a special landing page on morrobay.org listing the participating hotels, and it'll be a 20% off October to March, restrictions supplied by the hotels. So the hotel can set the parameter and the restrictions. The people will just pick up the phone and call you and say, "Hi, Karen at the Embarcadero Inn. We attended Sabre, and we have this e-goodie coupon for Morro Bay with, I have to mention, restriction code Sabre." Okay. Budget subcommittee report. We didn't physically meet, but we're constantly discussing the budget. It's a constant concern. John, do you have anything you'd like to add there?
No, actually, I don't. I think so. It seems like everything we've been talking about has come up someplace else in the meeting already.
Okay, terrific. Visitors and Conference Bureau report, County Business Improvement District report, and John, you're our liaison for the VCB. Do you have a report?
Yeah, real quick. I mean, basically two things that have been the discussions of the last two meetings have been really, you know, annual budget approval, board approval of budget, which is completed, and 80% of the last two meetings and probably 90% of the last meeting has been about Sabre, because that's what's taking up 100% of everybody's time at the county at this point in time. I don't know if the numbers on Sabre, ticket sales or everything's doing real well, but an awful lot of this stuff happens in the last month, so not a heck of a lot to report. It's more once this thing starts going, they'll have the numbers in and then they'll see how it's doing. But it looks substantially ahead of last year. It seems to me like we've talked a lot about Sabre today, so I don't know if there's anything I could really add about specifically Sabre. So I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, John. You should know that when you're speaking, they're showing a photo of your, we're giggling up here because they're showing a photo of your empty chair, your microphone with your name plaque. It's hysterical. So, there you go.
You should do that right here.
Do you have chairs lined up that you're talking to? Okay. And thank you, John, for the report. And I imagined that Sabre was consuming everyone. So we're going to move to Jay, a review of the transient occupancy tax report. And I just have a couple of quick numbers that I threw together for you. And I think at our October or November meeting, I think November is the time when we have our deep discussion of TOT. So we do have a little bit of time. But the receipts were up. Occupancy was down 1%, but again, I go back to the occupancy being the 1% down does not really impact us much. I think what that reflects is that 4th of July was midweek, to be honest with you, instead of a weekend, or instead of a three-day weekend, right? Instead of making it a long weekend, it was basically midweek. So, but the jump in ADR is gigantic, and I love that my numbers correspond with someone else's. Last year, ADR for July was 117.30, and this year it is 122.73, and ADR is your average daily rate. Our RevPAR was also up. It jumped to $92.05, which is your revenue per available room. So that jumped, and I will let everybody know that out of our 916-room inventory, we had approximately or roughly 687 rooms occupied per night in Morro Bay in July. So that's what 75% occupancy equates to. And I don't know, but I feel really good about those numbers. And there was a little bit of concern about the vacation rentals, but I still would like to remind everybody that the active vacation rentals, from the number of vacation rentals from last year to this year, has dropped. Those are typically, again, those are typically second homes for folks, and in an economy like this, we see those second homes sold and they become residences, primary residences for people a lot of times in this type of economy. So I wouldn't be too alarmed about that, but we will definitely keep our eye on it and keep trying to push those vacation rentals and the RV parks too. We will move now to, unless anybody has any comments on that.
Real quick on the average daily rate, the ADR, does that mean, so it means that hoteliers are charging more for the rooms?
It means that rate has bounced up, yes.
Okay. And that means, I mean, what does that mean exactly? I mean, it seems like in an economy like this, you would charge more or less to get more people here. Or is it, what is it, why is that happening? I mean,
that's happening for a number.
For non-hoteliers like myself.
That's happening for a number of reasons. I think one of the most important trends that use renovation, the Twin Dolphin is completely gutting and renovating and has, you know, slowly been doing it. Did some renovations, opened back up for summer, and is closing again this fall to finish their renovations. And that all adds to a boosted economy for Morro Bay.
And I think we're looking at a somewhat different market share now with, as you can see with our stats of where our guests are coming from, L.A., San Francisco, Bay Areas, you know, where they're a little more cued in to paying a little more for a room. So and I think that makes a big difference.
Comment also, I think the more festival or events we have or holidays, we tend to get better rates because, you know, we have a limited, you know, rooms.
More demand.
So it's really when, you know, 4th of July or, you know, weekends like that, it really makes a difference as far as our revenue. So I'm really hoping, you know, we can get more event in Morro Bay, you know. Even Avocado Festival is something that is local mostly, but it brings people here. And once we have, you know, a lot of people come in town, it definitely we can charge a little bit better and keep our facility, you know, keep up.
You know, this last summer too, this last August, there was a couple weekends where you could not find a hotel room. The closest place was, you know, 60, 75 miles away, and I haven't seen that in Morro Bay in several years. So to see that again, too, that again, it's that supply and demand theory, right. Then it's higher demand, but it's exciting to see that because it's been a while.
Well, I can tell you as a hotelier, a restaurant.
Oh, welcome to the crowd.
That maybe it's because 4th of July wasn't on a weekend, it was in the middle of the week, but our Labor Day weekend was just about a record weekend for us, which is a great way to end the summer. You know, it was really impacted. The whole town was.
Didn't hurt us that the weather was gorgeous, huh? Oh, man. And the heat wave. Love having a heat wave Labor Day weekend in the inland valleys. Nick, we think of you as a hotelier. Just wanted to let you know that.
I'm learning a lot about the business, I'll tell you that.
So there's our review of transient occupancy. And I have to say a lot of other things have been done to improve on our hotels. A lot of exterior painting has gone on. I mean, Karen did a lot of work to the Embarcadero in this past year. And it's just going to continue. And Morro Bay is going through a resurgence and revitalization with our business community. And it's good for all of us. Tourism Bureau Formation Business Subcommittee Report.
We did not meet, I don't think. Did we meet, John?
Well, we actually met twice in separate meetings.
Oh, that's right. We did. You and I met.
Making the two things we got to report. As soon as we get the final and copy of the bylaws and all of our filings complete, we can move ahead with the insurance. We just needed the legal documentation to go ahead and to have those be able to file our applications for the insurance. And then second, from the business office perspective, we've talked about approaching a couple of the local CPA firms to be our accountant. But I think there's a bit of a difference of opinion as to how much of the accounting we should do internally. Should we do our own financial statements, our own accounts payable, or payroll, that sort of stuff? I think the general sense of it of the group is that once we get a director of tourism and a office, and that director of tourism hires an office manager, probably leave it to those people to make the final decision as to how much of the accounting they want to maintain inside their, under their own direct control, and how much they want to outsource, you know, based on the skill levels of the, particularly the office manager would bring to the table. I think those are the two topics we discussed primarily.
Yeah, to add to that also, I think we discussed that really we need someone financially to be a CPA. I think for being a public company, I think it's good to find someone that, you know, at the end of every month we get basically a balance sheet that is, you know, we can present to everyone and, you know, the numbers are finalized. And so if we can get somebody locally, it would be probably easiest way. and you know, few people I know, and I'm sure other people know, who can probably draw from their CPA locally. They can do the financial numbers, and also, of course, we need to get a bank account, a checking account. We got all that stuff to be done as well.
Something you might, we're hanging in there, so. And I don't think it'll be long. Go ahead.
How soon do you think you can make? Is Rob there?
No, Jamie is here, and I can shoot that email to him. Or if you want to, you can.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you. Any further information on K Tourism Bureau Formation Business Subcommittee report? No? Okay. With that, we'll move to L, Tourism Bureau Hiring Process Subcommittee Report, and I can report to you that we released the Kraken by releasing the ads, and we do have a email box, and a physical address. The physical address went out correct. Thank you, Member Mendoza. And applications or resumes to City Hall that Lori is storing for me and to pick up for the subcommittee, and that there have been emails pushed forward into that box that we have decided we will all open together, and that will be done sometime after the 17th. The ending period is close of day Pacific Standard Time on the 17th, of this month, and we have moved forward with asking some people from our community if they would be willing to be one of the three that would be added for the community interview positions when we all go to interview as part of the additions that we had decided on. I have heard back from one of them and am waiting to hear back from the other two. And as soon as we have that information, have those names solidified, I will let you know via email, I guess, that board is filled and that we're able to move forward. Of course, I'll ask you not to comment to each other or back due to the Brown Act. So just to keep you in the loop, though, for information. And we will be moving forward with the dates for interviewing, provided once we whittle down the resumes and applications, that the people that we whittle it down to are available on those dates. So we'll keep you posted.
Not being on this committee, but thinking that there probably would be, and I understand you haven't been reviewing at this point, you're waiting until the period closes, but if there are applications from people out of state, have we given any thought to how we're going to deal with those? Or
I have given some thought. We had not totally discussed it yet.
It seems like our communication this way with John is working fairly successfully, so maybe we could incorporate some conference calling in rather than having people come out, at least for an initial interview, with possible applicants. So, you know, it's kind of tough to have somebody spend money coming out. Of course, we've got lots of hotels we could put them up in, but, you know, budget-wise, it would be...
At this point, I can't imagine flying somebody from Australia for a first interview, right? So get a nice trip down the coast of California, right? I totally agree with you. It's going to be completely reasonable, and, you know, we'll work through that should need be, and,
Yeah, I think it's a good point, because if you're going to have someone also relocate, you know, are you going to pay a relocation package for them?
Let us look over to the Tourism Bureau Formation Business Subcommittee for that answer. yes, Sherry?
One question. Are you feeling that you have a healthy return on the ads that have been placed? Because, you know, we placed some of them for 30 days, some of them just for 7 days. So some of them have expired. I just wondered if you...
I think we should run them all the way up until the due date.
Okay.
Which is Monday, so there's
right.
really only... They could only run through
I think
say,
every
Sunday.
I think everything aside from SanJoseMercuryNews.com That was a 10-day initially that launched on, it probably is expiring today, so we can re-up and get it to go through Monday the 17th.
I think we had, what was it, Joan? There was, you've been checking the box. Did you say 12?
Oh, no.
Oh.
We have much more than 12.
Oh. Maybe that was like from a week ago?
I think it was 12 the first day, dear.
Oh, that's what it was. We've been focused on savers, so we haven't had to open that box too much.
Yeah. The two of us are on the hiring committee, and we're both on saver, too. So we're like, it's pretty chaotic right now. But, you know, we also have help. We thank heavens for helpers. Okay. Staff, yes. Thank heavens. So there you go. That's where we're at with the hiring process. We hear you loud and clear, Karen. And, we hear you loud and clear. For us. It is a first for us that there's no new business, guys. Okay, so we'll move to declaration of future agenda items. One of the agenda items we need to bring back is the stakeholder meeting that we were going to have, the kind of coffee meet and greet type idea that we were putting forward for November. So we are going to have to find a place to do that. Maybe one of the hotels has a conference room or a breakfast room that they could host a mid-afternoon coffee or something like that if we had just coffee and cookies brought in. La Serena might be perfect. I'm getting a head shake. So we'll try and schedule it in November for the La Serena. And we'll probably have like a brief marketing report and those kinds of things. So that's something that we'll have to discuss during new business next time, what actually we want brought forward for that meeting. And with that, are there any other future agenda items anyone would like to see on there?
Just the two unfinished business items that we kind of deferred out and will be ongoing, which is the tourism visitor center facility and the Moby site update.
Yep.
I have also maybe on a new business or, I don't know, creative subcommittee maybe can look into getting some more, you know, event or something in November and, you know, December. We really don't have much going on in town. Yeah, well, that's the only one. Mm-hmm. But I think the more of those we can somehow create, or I know there's a difficulty in some cases on this thing, but I mean, there's a bike, there's antique, there's a lot of stuff that we could maybe bring this town that on the months that really we don't have much going on. I mean, we're doing very well on, you know, summer. I think always something goes
on. This, Alex, I think would be a perfect liaison opportunity between the new director of tourism and the chamber, you know, when that person is in place. So
I think, you know, because I've been in this town for a long time, and I know that over the last 5 years, the chamber has made a great effort to bring a lot of these events, you know, like the music festival and the avocado and the... And then there's a lot of other events like the triathlon. But I think part of the issue is getting the word out to these events. I know we've kind of talked about this forever about, you know, how we get them. But I think having a director of tourism, I think our website's doing a great job of getting information out about these events. So I think we just need to continue on that path and continue to get better.
So that we don't get into conversation during a declaration of future agenda items, are you looking to see what the current schedule of events is?
I'm thinking that maybe looking for something else also if we can bring. I mean, we have great stuff going on right now. Knocking on that, but I'm just saying on the months that we usually very slow.
November, you know, December, and January.
Yeah, look in those and see if there's anything we can bring in town or you know.
Yeah. Promote. So there is some conversation that the Oyster Festival might move to November.
Oh, that's great. That would be
So we can certainly look at how we can support that.
Yes.
Okay. And any other future agenda items, Michelle?
No, I'm curious. On a couple of months ago, we had talked about just that PR, and it came back to PR subcommittee. But we about the videos and that local outreach we were going to do.
The PSAs. Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. And I'm just curious. I know we've all, and I'm not saying I'd want it brought back until after Saver, but I'm just curious where that was going on. But after Saver, I want it to be just re-brought up again as to where we went on that.
Okay. And if I recall, we had decided that, I believe we decided by vote that we... I can't remember. I have to go back.
I feel it was moving forward, and it got sent to the PR subcommittee, but then I feel like...
I'll double-check. I'll shoot you an email,
yeah.
Michelle. I'll double-check back in our minutes. Karen? Okay. John, from the pool?
The only thing I was kind of picking up on what Alex is saying is the whole idea of... if you look at the TOT report... And the occupancy to the off-season is just so darn low. We just really need to focus. It's partly events, it's partly promotions, it's partly packaging, it's a lot of things. Just focusing on getting occupancy up in the off-season.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, it's being, right. It's being bionic about what we do well in the high season or the shoulder season. So... Yep, let's bring that back and look at those off seasons. And let's call that, okay.
And lastly, happy to report that it actually works very well.
Terrific.
This is kind of a test situation, and it does work very well.
Terrific. Well, we're glad to hear it, and we're glad to hear your voice and see your empty chair focused on, but we'll be happy when you're back. So with that, looking for a motion to adjourn.
Before we do that, are we going to have... just our regular monthly meeting next month? Because, where are we doing meetings every 2 weeks?
Are you talking about October?
Weeks? Yes.
Are you talking about the meeting Thursday, Saver and FAM tour meeting day?
Yeah, we're not going to do a meeting that day, though.
We need to look at what's happening with the business. I don't think we will, but how about we look at what needs to be covered business-wise, which is the 501c business turnover issues. I'll touch base with Rob and Andrea and get back to you through Jamie via email whether we will be having that meeting.
I think it's the lease issue that'll need to be addressed before the next regular meeting. So
it could be a one conversation deal. So thank you for that. And with that, looking for a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Okay. Moved and seconded.
Second.
And all in favor? I have to poll you. Don't hang up. Alex, are you in favor?
Aye.
Nick?
Aye.
Karen?
Aye.
Michelle?
Aye.
John?
I'm having a good time, no.
I'm an aye. You're outvoted. Sorry. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Bye, John.
Bye. Bye.